we're welcoming into our French's Forest studio, Tommy Berry. How are you, Tom?
Good, thanks, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Do you like a little bit of, who was that? Justin Bieber. I love that song for whatever reason. I'm a bit questionable about the person himself, but that song doesn't go down too bad with me.
No, it goes all right. When I got back from Japan, I was singing a bit of Justin Bieber, and it had been out for a couple of months and I didn't know, but I was singing it like it had only just come out. So a few of the jockeys like Cafe O'Hara were getting the shits.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Really? No, well, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Just get you, you know, in the mood a little bit, That's the main thing. Hey, we're going to play some music of yours later, but the idea of getting you into our studio is to talk some racing and also let our listeners have a chat with you. So at any time, feel free to give us a call on 1353 53. We'll talk about the autumn ahead, but if you want to ask Tommy about any horses that he may be on the weekend or anything else, you can give us a call, 1353 53. Tommy, I guess the most exciting one that we've already seen is our boy Malachi. It must have been, I reckon I could sense it in the after race interview, just the satisfaction for everybody that the horse had come back the way it did last Saturday.
Yeah, well, it was heartbreaking to see what happened to him at the end of his last prep. He's been a horse that has got a massive following, and you know, he's not only just a horse. He's part of the family now. Mm. You know, he's got a great attitude. He's a winner. Doesn't necessarily love wet tracks, but you saw him get through it. He just wants to go out there and get the job done. So to go through what he's gone through and then not only have the bleed, but obviously the colic after that and almost losing him, and to get him back was a very satisfying feeling.
I reckon often we just take it for granted as punters and listeners and people that chase news like me and all that sort of stuff, is that we do take it for granted, but you do get a relationship with horses, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Obviously, over the years, you form a few, but he's one that I obviously haven't had a lot to do with over a long period of time, yeah, but only the sort of the last year and a half. And as I said, he's got such a great nature for an animal. He makes you fall in love with him straight away. And any horse that goes out there and gives you his all every time he goes around, it's a feeling that you don't get too often, you know. And yeah, as I said, he sometimes has barriers against him like he did in Queensland, or he had tracks against him like he did last week. But he seems to overcome all of them and put his best foot forward.
Were you amazed, or you use your words, but the way that people dropped off after that second trial where he fractionally missed the start and you travelled at the back of the field? I mean, the instant reaction was, and I guess because he's had a bleed, we all think, oh, geez, what's happened? But everyone thought, oh, no, he can't win off that. No, you know. And as hard as you and Michael Hawks did on Saturday morning trying to tell everybody that it was, don't worry about it, everyone ignored it.
Yeah, it's, look, it doesn't surprise you in the racing game, because as soon as something happens, a good horse gets beat, you know, anything like that happens, everyone's quick to jump off, which is unfortunate, but it's not the first time it's happened and it won't be the last. So, you know, I was a little bit surprised even on race day that he kept blowing out in the market. I was looking at his legs to make sure he still had all four there. But, you know, as I said, his trial was just one of them things. If he jumped a length in front, he would have won it by a length. Yeah. He jumped two behind, so he finished two behind. It was just simple as that. And the track was very shifty on that day, so I didn't want to knock him around. And, you know, everything proved right on Saturday.
I mentioned the bleed, and I know that Michael Hawks has said this a couple of times, that really you've got to monitor. You've had a really the horse has had a long preparation to where he got to last Saturday. So he's got to come back and do it again second up, and the Hawks stable are mindful. Do you know where that second up run could be?
No, I'm not sure. There's obviously a lot of options for him as a sprinter. There's a lot of nice races coming up. Obviously, I think probably the grand final would be the TJ Smith, where he'll meet horses like Chautauqua. So he's definitely hasn't got any easier tasks ahead.
No.
You know, his easy task was on Saturday, last Saturday, and he went through that with flying colours. I'd love to see him getting back on top of the ground, as I said before. And, you know, he deserves a Group 1.
Mm.
Whether he's good enough to win one, I'd like to say he is. But he's just, against horses like Chautauqua and Terra Vista, it's going to be very tough. But he definitely deserves one, and he makes his own luck. He puts himself on the pace. if he has everything go his way, I like to think he will be able to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure. The whole thing is a great story. I mean, what he set up in Queensland at Rockhampton, sadly one of the main owners is now no longer with us, but his family have come right into the horse. It's an all-round nice story, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, it is. It's one of them racing stories that you can look back on once he's retired, a bit like a takeover target story, and say he was part of Australian racing and he come from the bush, from Rocky, and surprised they haven't named a race after him yet. I guess that won't be far away.
No.
And it's good because they all get behind him and he's their property. He always will be.
Yeah.
No matter how long he races down here for, he'll always be their property and they're very proud of that, I'm sure.
Just before we start taking calls on 1353 53, just with him, watching him last Saturday, it was the way that he, I know it was a rain-affected track and everything, but he seems to travel, skips across the turf, doesn't he?
He does. He's got a beautiful action that seems to get through it well. He's got a high cruising speed, and he sort of had a few of them off the bit before the corner, and that's probably where he won the race, because even though he looked like he was getting away from him the last furlong, he didn't feel overly comfortable to me in the ground.
Yeah.
But I guess that just shows his ability.
Yeah, his talent for sure. All right, we're going to start taking calls. I'll talk along the way as well. So if you want to hear less of me, ring 1353 53. Good morning to Michael.
Good morning. How are you, Andrew?
Very well. Tommy, you want to say hello to him?
How are you, Michael?
G'day, Tommy. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you. Mate, I just want to give you a rap on your honesty and the detail you give us average punters, you know. Like, you give us so much information on each of your rides. Mate, it's fantastic. It really is. And as a character, mate, as an industry, I also want to say, mate, I love the respect everyone has for each other within the industry. Like, you know, all your jockeys call the trainers of Mr. Moody or Mr. Waller. I love all that, mate. It's so very Australian of old, which you don't see much of. And yeah, I just want to give all of you guys, including you, Andrew, you do so much work out there, guys. I just really want to give you a wrap. It's not your everyday talk show, but it's racing and the racing industry. It's horses, the animals, and you guys, the people. And it's just a beautiful thing. I love listening to you, and keep it up. Thank you for giving it to us all, you know.
Yeah, no,
really,
thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael, and it's you we should be thanking as well. The punters are what make our industry, and the support for the racing industry is very, very well received. So I've got to thank you as well.
And Michael, I will say that we take it for granted here in Australia. We take things for granted sometimes, and one thing that we do is actually having a radio station that does this, that broadcasts racing. I mean, you go to the UK and you can't hear it anywhere. You've got to log on to one of their corporate bookie pages and you can hear it. It broadcasts for 4 hours. I mean, we broadcast racing all day. You hear stuff in the morning, all the previews. You don't hear any of that, I would say, anywhere else in the world.
No, we're pretty spoiled, aren't we?
Yeah. No.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
No, good on you, Michael. Thanks, mate. Tommy, have you got one for him for Saturday? Have you had a look at your ride? You obviously would have looked at your ride Saturday.
Yeah, Twist Tops looks to be a very good chance. She gets through the wet track. It's just been downgraded to a heavy at Randwick, and she ran second to Scarlet Rain on a heavy track a couple of weeks ago, and she looks well placed up to the 1,200.
Okay, Twist Tops is the one for you, Michael. 1353 53 is the number to call. Our boy Malachi, we've spoken about. I made a call to the Coolmore boys this morning. I wanted to bring up Vancouver with you. We know he's about to take different trip to his life. He's in quarantine now. He leaves on the 17th of February to go and be trained by Aidan O'Brien in Ireland. It's a new life for him up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different. It's disappointing that we probably didn't get to see how good he could be, because he was always going to be a better 3-4 year old. But being part of the Coolmore team, that's just what they do. They shuttle their good stallions, and I'm sure he'll go well over there. He's with one of the best trainers I've ever seen in Aidan O'Brien, and I'm sure he's got a lot to offer on the world stage, and I hope he makes Australia proud.
No races have sort of been planned until they get the horse up there and Aidan sort of gets used to him, but was he looking like a horse that could get a mile?
He was, but I'm not sure if he will.
Yeah.
I think he might be 14? Especially over there, he's probably a 1,200-1,400-metre horse, because their races are run at a lot vaster tempo than ours. But you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he did get a mile. But some of those horses that look like they're milers, they get there and they're not able to let down.
Exactly. Well, we started with a little bit of Justin Bieber, just a little bit to lighten up. I texted Tommy yesterday. I said, tell us some of your music you like. And he came up with this.
Hey, where did we go?
Bad egg.
Days when the rains came.
Tommy, please.
It's great.
Down in the hollow.
You're making me feel right at home.
Right at home. Can we hear the chorus? Is the chorus coming up? Skipping and a jumping. Were you doing that when you were listening to this?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Daddy will be loving it.
Our hearts are thumping and you, a brown-eyed girl.
Well, you better tell us the story, because probably many of our listeners are thinking Tommy Berry and Van Morrison's Brown-Eyed Girl. How'd you come up with that one?
Well, as every year we used to drive down to Taree just for 2 weeks to spend it with my nan at Old Bar. And we used to go down in Dad's old Mercedes, and this is the CD that was left in there every year, and we used to sing along to it. It's the only time I ever used to hear it, just that 2 weeks over Christmas.
So how old were you then?
Oh, we did it from probably the age of 4 or 5 the whole way till we started our apprenticeship. So for a long time, every year.
Jesus, you were bashed by this song.
Yeah, well, we couldn't afford any more CDs.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, we've got a couple more songs. I hope they're a bit more uplifting than Brown Eyed Girl, mate. Hey?
Oh, I'm a pretty quiet sort of a person. I don't like the rock and roll.
No, I can't believe that. We've spoken about our boy Malachi. What about Chautauqua, a horse that was destined to go to Hong Kong back in December and had an injury set up, but it's down in Melbourne and back in work and progressing hopefully in the right direction?
Yeah, all reports from the stables that he's come back very well, and we know the Hawks team give their horses a lot of time, especially when they have a little niggly problem, and I think sort of the problem he had going into Hong Kong was only a slight one, and probably he was perfect after a week, but Mr. Hawks has always said to me that once you have a little setback, you don't try and fix it and go again, and especially when you've got to travel with the horse. But he's had a good break now, he's the world's his oyster, really.
Yeah.
And I think and I hope that that's what's going to happen. He looks to, obviously on the cards, he's Hong Kong and the UK, so if all's well and he goes that way, it'll be an exciting ride for everyone.
Well, it would be. I mean, they spoke about Ascot and other races up there the middle part of last year when they were mapping out sort of Hong Kong in December and beyond. So the general view is if he stands up in Melbourne and Sydney that he could head overseas again?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously Hong Kong's would be his first stop.
Yeah.
And then it's on the way to the UK anyway. And I'd really be excited to see him in the UK, because they're 1,200 metre races. You sort of need a horse that can run a bit further to do that.
Mm.
And we know he'd probably be best suited when he gets to 1,400 and a mile, but he just doesn't really relax well enough to get that trip. But, a big long straight with him, we know he loves a straight, and I'd be really excited if we were able to get him over there.
You mentioned, and I know this is a terribly hard question, but on top of the ground, our boy Malachi and Chautauqua, let alone everything else that's going to line up in the TJ Smith, it's going to be one hell of a race if they can all get there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they're two different horses. One, you know, Airborne Malachi races on the pace and Chautauqua comes from behind. So I know which one I'll be on. I'll probably be on Chautauqua if I had the choice. But I'd say he wouldn't be an easy horse to run down. Airborne Malachi is full of heart.
Yeah, he is. As we've spoken about, he just glides over the turf. We're going to go to Hong Kong in about half an hour and get an update on Joe Mareer. He had a fall. Have you seen it?
It looked nasty.
He was in
the box seat and he had a couple go over him, but I spoke to a couple of people this morning and all reports are he's not too bad.
Yeah,
so,
might have just general soreness.
Muscle, yeah. He'll be sore, don't worry about that.
We'll get an update hopefully with Kim Kelly, the chief steward from Hong Kong, in about half an hour, given the 3-hour time difference. Is Hong Kong still on the Tommy Berry agenda? Is it something that you want to go and do, or is it becoming less now that you want to stay here with the family?
Yeah, it's becoming a little bit less, and two reasons. Family's been the main one, but I feel like sort of since I've been doing all these trips to Hong Kong and Japan, Sydney sort of slipped away from me a little bit.
Yeah.
Haven't been as consistent in Sydney for the last 12 months. And, you know, I might have one more trip to Japan and then probably stay home for a little while, because I was speaking to John Hawks about it last week, and he said it's all good at the start when you're travelling and getting away and coming back and going away and coming back, but you sort of lose your connections a little bit along the way, and I don't want that to happen. I want to be able to really form a solid base in Sydney before I do go back to Hong Kong or Japan for a longer stint. So there might be one more trip on the cards, and then obviously I'll speak to John and John Moore along the way and see what happens. But the longer time goes on, it feels like, home's probably going to be the best place for me.
I guess, too, also that you mentioned when you go away, you lose contact a little bit with what's happening back here, is that other riders are jumping on horses that you wouldn't necessarily be riding. And then if they have success, it's hard for you to come back and get on them.
It is. And that's, Sydney's only getting harder. It's not getting any easier. And you look at someone like Brent Navdala, who's really gone ahead in leaps and bounds over the last 12 months. He's sort of a rider that's really stepped up, and Sam Clipperton, and there's a few younger riders that are really sort of gone to the next level this year. And so that makes it a little bit tougher. So I feel that to sort of be in the top three where I have been for the last sort of 3 or 4 years, I'll have to spend a lot more time here and keep that association going with everyone that I have. And don't get me wrong, I'm still getting all the rides from the top trainers that I was, but probably not as many as I was. And you need numbers to be in the top three in Sydney.
Yeah, for sure. And that's good for us because we want to see you here as well. I don't mind texting you when you're overseas, but I do prefer you when you're here.
The phone calls are a little bit more expensive.
Exactly. I've got an app though. I don't know. Do you get on all sorts of different apps?
Yeah, I've got Line. Have you got Line?
I haven't got Line. I've got WhatsApp.
Yeah, Line's better than WhatsApp.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's Line?
Line.
Is it the same?
A bit the same, but the it's a lot clearer when you speak.
And the other thing, because I'm 54 and I've got no idea, but I've been told to go on WhatsApp because I'm talking with people that are overseas, and they tell me that it's that you're paying off your data that's on your phone. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But data costs more than phone calls now. I know my phone call log isn't much at the end of the month, but Shani's not overly happy with the data that gets
used.
I'm
the same way with a 21-year-old at home. His data is incredible. They must play. I reckon he must be on it sort of nearly 20 hours of the day.
Your data, like, you're on Twitter 24 hours of the
day.
Yeah, I am. So that wouldn't be any good.
No, exactly. 13:53:53. We've got a call coming through, but 13:53:53 to chat with Tommy. By the way, I wanted to mention we've got a brand new series that's coming up on Sky Thoroughbred Central on Foxtel 521. It's going to be called One on One with Ray Thomas. And Ray has eagerly texted me through saying, give this a plug, can you? I need all the help I can get. I mean, hooray, your show's not on till February 16. I mean, it's still a fortnight away.
He's already got me booked in for the first show.
Well, that's why I'm mentioning it. Tommy Berry is going to be on the first one. It's Tuesday night at 7:30. Jot it down on your calendar or do something with it. I'll definitely remind you beforehand. But it's Tuesday, February 16, one-on-one with Ray Thomas, and he'll be one-on-one on that show with the great Tommy Berry. Peter's online. Morning to you, Pete.
Yeah, morning, Tom. Morning, Andrew. How are you
going? Yeah, very well.
Very well, thanks.
That's right. Hey, Tommy, mate, I just wanted to find out from your perspective, as far as the UK go, and Andrew, you probably know a bit too, why they sort of really rate it. I don't really sort of rate the UK. As far as prize money, it's not really there. Is it really sort of just the prestige and all that of it?
Yeah, from what I can sort of, I haven't ridden over there very often at all, but watching the racing over in the UK, I think it's got a lot to do with the prestige of the races and the quality of horse that's over there. Their horses over there, especially their stays, are up there with Japan, the best in the world. And I think if you want to watch racing in UK, you can watch some real quality horses go around in the big races.
Yeah, you can watch them very. Pete, I went to the July Cup at Newmarket about 5 years ago. It was the first ever time I've been to the UK, and I went that day. A couple of Aussies were running, and while the prize money for the July Cup was okay, the race before it was won by a horse that was owned by Sheikh Mohammed. And I thought, I had a look in the race book. He collected £6,000. I mean, I'm going to say this. He would carry that in his wallet, like apart from the prestige races, their prize money is very limited.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Yeah.
And also, guys, Tommy, you'd know this one. Why the jockeys? You know, a lot of our good ones want to ride in Honkers in Singapore. Is it because of the tax bracket and everything else over there?
Yeah, every jockey's different. I know I go over to ride over in those countries more sort of because I want to win the best races in the world. And money isn't really money comes with success, so don't have to worry about that too much. So, but the tax bracket is good. It's 14% over in Hong Kong, and it's about the same in Singapore, and I think Japan's about 16%. So. Or close to 20%. So it you can make a lot more money over there in a shorter period of time, and that's why a lot of people go over there for the 3-month stints. But for me as a rider, I've won obviously 6 Group Ones in Hong Kong, and a few in Singapore as well. And it's mainly they're the couple of the best races in the world, and I want to go over there and ride good horses. And I've been able to go over and ride Designs and Rome and Able Friend over in Hong Kong. So. It's definitely, you know, highlights of my career, and that's why I go there.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, Tommy, and all the best on Saturday, Tommy, and thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, good on you.
Pleasure.
Good on you, Pete. Thanks for your call. Let's take Derek. Derek, good morning to you.
Oh, it's Jared, Andrew.
Hello, Jared. Don't know how we got Derek out of it, but...
we'll blame Darren, it's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. What have you got for Tommy?
Oh, it's just... G'day, Tommy. How are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks, buddy. I was actually just going to touch on how good a horse our boy Malachi is. I mean, we saw him there before he had the bleed, and he just seemed to be gone leaps and bounds. And how far do you think that he can go?
Well, as I said before, I hope he can win a Group 1 in this preparation, but it is going to be very tough for him. If he can't sort of do it over the autumn, then they'll probably go back to the Winter Carnival and try and win one in Queensland again. But you know, you'd like to think he can win a Group 1. If he does everything right and sort of gets the right run, hopefully he can pull one off.
Yeah, well, he won, very well on Saturday. And the other thing I just wanted to mention was how good is your sister-in-law riding at the moment?
Yeah, Kayla, I know she's got her head in leaps and bounds, and she's always been a very talented rider. We saw her very frequently in Melbourne when she was apprenticed to David Hayes, and... Mm. She's obviously down in Canberra now, and I've been trying to get her to come back to Sydney, but she's a little bit shy. But every time she makes an appearance, she makes it worth a while. But no, she's a very talented rider. She's got a claim, which is very helpful now with with the big weight. So hopefully she gets more opportunities.
Kaylin is, but obviously.
Won her first in Sydney the other day, and she won a couple in Albury, and so I think won there for Gratzbella and done a great job, great ride, and wouldn't have won without her talent, but she's going well. And just one other comment I wanted to make. Isn't Brown Eyed Girl for your wife? Is that not right?
No, it's a song that he told us that he was 5 listening to it in the car. There he goes. Oh, jeez.
I think he ended up marrying a brown eyed girl.
She does have brown eyes.
Yeah. All right, good on you. Thanks for your call, mate.
No worries. Good on you. Have a good day.
Let's go to Sean next here on Racing HQ. And we're showing to Luke and our listeners that we do have callers, 1353 53. Morning to you, Sean.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, very well. What have you got for Tommy?
I just want to ask Tommy, are you coming down to ride for the Black Opal if everything happens okay?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. It's one of my favourite meetings every year. Obviously, Shani's family's from Canberra, so it's always a good weekend there. Just got to find a nice ride, obviously, for the Black Opal. I think the Cup's on the same day now.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be there and enjoy the weekend. It'll be great.
Good on you. Thanks, mate. No, thanks for your call. Good on you, Sean.
Cheers, mate.
And the other one you're heading to for the launch is Albury coming up. You're going down to Albury for a launch of the Albury Cup Carnival, and their Cup Carnival comes up in late March, but you're heading there for one as well.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Andrew.
No, it's not far away, is it?
No, it's 26th of February,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, no, so. It's obviously a busy time of year and got a lot on, but it's a great carnival. There and Wagga are usually my two favourite carnivals. So,
Let's go to Brad. Good morning to you, Brad, and we're taking calls on 1353 53. Morning to you, Brad.
Yeah, g'day, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate.
Just for Tommy, how are you, Tommy?
Well, thanks, Brad. How are you?
Good, mate. Oh, I'm a lot better now, mate. You rode a horse for us at Kevlar on Tuesday that we got the Bickies 50 states, mate.
Oh, did you have something on at the $17?
Not enough.
Not enough.
Well, you got the prize money, Brad.
Well, we did. Eight starts for a place. I think Tommy rode the place a little while back, and there's a couple of first time owners, Tommy, and I think you saved the horse from getting pushed on a bit. I think, but mate, well ridden. I couldn't get down there, but I noticed that you started to roll in and you switched the whip from the left to the right like a genius, mate, and straighten him up, and he just fell in. But mate, is that something that you work on, or obviously you work on it, but how do you get it down to a fine knack?
Yeah, well, I started pulling the sick through sort of 2 years into my apprenticeship. Dad said to me that you'll cost yourself a lot of races if you can't pull the sick in both hands, and I did that, and I think my first grit one was on Epaulette when I won on him, and he hung in quite bad, and I pulled the stick through, and it's probably the only thing that got him over the line. So it was just a lot of practice, a lot of perseverance, and it's won me a lot of races in the past, especially another one being Designs on Rome in Hong Kong, who hangs in quite bad. So it's a very important thing to be able to do, and most jockeys can do it now, and the ones that can't, it definitely sort of costs them a few races along the way. But it's definitely been a great asset to my riding.
No, I certainly worked on him, mate. I actually met you and Nathan a few years ago when you were riding with Gary. Portelli used to ride a few horses for us, and unfortunately, you boys couldn't get a win for us, so you weren't in the real good books with us. But, mate, you're back on top now.
Back on top. Nothing like a winner, Tommy. Get home a winner and you're right.
Thanks for being patient.
Good luck to you. I hope you can ride it again and get some more winners. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, no, thanks, guys.
Cheers, Brad.
Good on you, Brad. Let's go to Alan on line three for a question for Tommy Berry. We've got about 11 minutes to do this. We might bring Kim Kelly in a few minutes and get the latest on Joe Moreira, but 13:53:53. And Alan's our next caller. Morning to you, Alan.
G'day. How you going?
Yeah, very well. What have you got for Tommy?
G'day, Tom. How you going, mate?
Good, thanks, Alan. How are you?
Good, thanks. Mate, I read an article in the Telegraph when you got back from Japan recently. You were just saying how you stayed in the same room. I think it was Ryan Moore, and I found it really interesting that you guys were locked in. I think it was it 24 hours before the actual race meeting? I thought, wow, it must have been pretty hard for you, just being locked away from internet, and the only thing you really watch is a movie.
Yeah, and that's only if I downloaded it the night before, because I figured out that the first weekend there, when I got in there, I went to download a movie and realised that's part of internet as well. You don't realise how much is part of social media and internet and, you know, how often you are on your phone. And
So they say to you that you can't take anything in?
No, you're not allowed to take anything in, not allowed to be on your phone, no internet at all. So you've got a little TV in there that shows Japanese television.
Right.
And
wow.
Ryan Moore was in there most Friday nights, but then he went and rode at the other end of Japan on the Sunday, so he wasn't there on the Sunday night. So it... I sort of, after my first weekend, just started downloading a lot of movies before I went in, and that's the only way I got by.
Yeah.
Locked away, couldn't talk to anyone, couldn't talk to Shani, obviously, or anyone. That must have been pretty tough. But
no, it wasn't a bad thing.
And Alan, I reckon Christoph Soumion, was he the jock that actually got caught with on his phone or
Christoph Lemaire.
Lemaire, was it? Christoph Lemaire.
He sent a tweet out, and I think he got 3 months or a month or something like that.
And what is the reasoning?
I think it's just got a lot to do with turnover, money, yeah. A bit like Hong Kong and why you've got to live on course. They've all got their own way of doing things. But it's funny, you're not allowed to be on anything, but everyone's allowed to be together in the same room the night before the races. So it's different, but it's their way, how they do it, and it works well.
Do you think in any way it could work here?
No, definitely not. No. They race it... certain amount of tracks, and there's not too many tracks I've got to go to. Hong Kong, they've only got 2 tracks, so it makes it easier, but we race everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs to happen here. No. I think we've got a pretty good routine here, and I don't want to spend any more time away from the family than I already do.
No, I understand. Yeah. Al, thanks for your call, mate.
No wonder you kiss the ground when you come back, Tommy, when you got off the plane.
Did I?
Good on you. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you. Alan joining us there. We had a caller off air who didn't want to come on air but wanted me to ask you about Ruling Dynasty, who comes back. You rode it last couple of runs down in Melbourne during the spring, and it resumes. Have you been at all out there at Randwick for James Cummings?
I rode him in a trial, his last trial. He went very well. He actually went the best he's gone in a trial before his race, but He'll go very well on Saturday. Yep. We saw him run very well first up last preparation.
Lights cut out of the ground too?
He doesn't. I wouldn't say it's preferred ground, but he definitely gets through it. It won't hurt him at all. And he's just going to have to get a little bit further back than we wanted to be, probably from a wide-ish alley. And I'd just keep an eye on how the racing is during the day. If they're coming from behind, he's definitely one to get on, but if they're not, then just save him for another day.
Okay, now we're about to go to Kim Kelly, but Kim will be wondering what in the heck's going on because he listens quite regularly. They tell me he listens on the internet. Songs that Tommy Berry likes. Now, I'm not too sure what this one's about. I'll get the song. You can play whatever one. Steve, whatever one, because I'm now, after playing Brown Eyed Girl,
it can only go up.
What's the next one we're going to play?
Charlie Puth.
What is it?
Puth.
Charlie Puth. Let's have a listen.
I'm only one call away.
Oh, Tommy, please.
I'll be there to save the day.
Good morning, Shani.
Superman got nothing on me.
I'll be home tonight, Shani.
I'm only
sound
one
really kind heart.
That's enough. Charlie Puth, One Call Away. Fair dinkum. Is there a bright song to it? Are we going to play a bright one before we finish? Let's go to Kim Kelly, the Chief Steward for Harness Hong Kong Jockey Harness Club. Good morning to you, Kim.
Good morning, Andrew.
Aren't you glad I woke you up at this time to play some Charlie Puth? Do you play that in Hong Kong?
It's way too early for that sort of mirth, Andrew.
Mate, thanks for taking our call. It's a shocking 3-hour time difference at this time of the year, but a lot of people were just wondering how Joe Moreira was after that fall yesterday, given his stature around the world. What's the latest you've heard?
He stayed in hospital overnight. The news late last night was quite good. It was quite promising. There was no initial scans didn't reveal any breaks or any fractures or anything like that. He's obviously very sore and sorry, as you'd expect, but they're going to do some more tests this morning, but at least the news late last night was promising.
Okay. Looking at it live, we all held our breath because it was noticeable you could see a couple of horses go near him or over the top of him.
Yes, it wasn't pretty to watch by any stretch of the imagination, and there are a number of horses, as you say, that sort of trailed over. But at least at this time, it appears as though he's got through it relatively unscathed. But we'll know more this morning, and we'll put out a release later this morning, just giving an update on his situation and how he's positioned for Saturday's meeting.
Okay. All right. And the other one was Douglas White. I know it was probably less, but he was going out onto the track and got, thrown into a fence or something?
Yeah, as the horse was going out onto the track, it sort of took charge and wouldn't turn, went straight and hit the fence, and Douglas was dislodged, and the horse actually stood on him as it was going past. So he's another bloke that's quite sore and sorry this morning, but he's on the anti-inflammatories and all those type of things. So again, we'll know more about his progress this morning, but. Certainly last night I spoke to him and there was no breaks or anything like that, but it was all muscular. So we'll see what the morning brings for Douglas.
All right, we'll wait and see. Chad Schofield's off. He's getting physio with two bulging discs after an incident last Sunday. Mate, have you got a shortage of jockeys at the moment?
Yes. Things aren't progressing as good as probably what they normally do. But Chad's out until at least maybe back for the Chinese New Year meeting on Wednesday. We've got another number of other riders that are sort of on the sideline for various reasons, through injury and whatnot like that. So at the moment we're going through a bit of a trot, but. Corey Brown is going to come over from Singapore and ride on the weekend, just in case something happens with Moreira or White or anybody else in the meantime. And then Corey Brown and Rod and Michael Rod are riding next week, and I think Glenn Schofield is coming up for a meeting later on down the line as well. So We've got a few contingencies in place at the moment, and hopefully the end of the trot's nigh. But we haven't had the best of luck with injuries of late.
All right, we'll wait and see what happens with your release later in the day. But at least at this stage, it tells us that he's going to be very, very sore, obviously, but there's no breaks as those scans showed us last night. Hey, Kim, thanks for getting up early and taking our call, mate. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
Good on you. Kim Kelly there, the chief steward for the Hong Kong Jockey Club. By the way, I mentioned the Hobartville for Winx. That can't happen, but maybe Winx returns on that day. That Hobartville's only 3-year-old race, so it won't be that one. Let's go to Gary now. Good morning to you, Gary.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Tommy.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. I just want to ask quickly about the 2-year-olds you've ridden so far this year. You've ridden a couple of good ones, and just how you rank them. And in particular, the Star Witness Colt, Star Turn.
Yeah, look, he's probably one of the most promising 2-year-olds I've ridden this season. I think he might be going around next Saturday.
He's in Melbourne, Gary, Star Turn. He's going to jump out tomorrow morning at Flemington, and then he runs in the Blue Diamond Prelude.
Yeah, so obviously it's a different way of going, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. But he's a very smart horse. Mount Panorama, he's another smart one that I've been riding. Probably hasn't, due to manners and track conditions, probably haven't seen the best of him, but he's going very well. And probably the filly of Gay's Scarlet Rain, she's done nothing wrong thus far, but obviously the horse of Snowden's looks to be the main one that we've all got to beat. Capitalist, yeah. So he's probably the standout this year.
Yeah, okay. Will you head down to Melbourne to ride Start Turn, Tom?
No, Dwayne Dunn will ride him there, and it's just the way the Hawks team works things. He'll ride the horses in Melbourne like usual, and I'll stay in Sydney. And I think we might have Labaz going around on the same day, who trialled very impressively last week.
In the Apollo there. Good on you, Gary. Good luck over the weekend, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gary.
Have you got one? Is Luke on the right theme there? Race 3, number 1 today at Wyong, or is there something else our listeners could be following there for Tommy or for something on Saturday?
Yeah, probably he's right on the money. I think he's a nice horse as long as the track doesn't get too wet. He didn't get through the track very well the other day at Canterbury. Lucky it was Canterbury. The start before was Warwick Farm, where the track doesn't hold up as well, and we all saw how we went then. So he looks to be my best ride of the day there. And as I said, Twist Tops is probably my nicest ride on Saturday, and there's a few others going around that should run well as well.
Yeah. Twist Tops, I found. I like giving numbers. Race 5, number 11. No, that's all right. That's not your job. Race 5, number 11, Twist Tops is the one in the $250,000 Inglis Classic. Righto. That's about it for the morning, Tommy. It's gone pretty quick.
A lot quicker than last time.
It did.
We had a few more callers this time.
We did. No, everything's good. Everything's good.
Not as much talking between you and I going on.
No. The other one that I wanted to mention just before I go is Speak Fondly. For Gay. Yep. It's not far away. Gay keeps telling me that it's progressed well.
Yeah, she's come back very well, a lot stronger. She looks to probably trial on the 19th. That's what she's aimed for, and I think she's down to Expedition Gallop on Saturday.
Yep.
If the track's probably not likely now with the track being a heavy eight, but that's what she's sort of aiming for.
Okay. Mate, thanks for coming in. Good luck for the autumn ahead and the family. I hope they're all well, and we wish you the best. Did we have one more song? We didn't. No, we thought that was enough.
Yeah, well, Caden turns one on Saturday, so he's growing up really quick. So looking forward to that.
Okay, one. Jeez, time is getting away. There'll be another one on the way. If it's one, you'd be starting to think about it. You be careful. Thanks, Tommy.
Cheers. Thanks, Andrew.
Tommy Berry joins us this morning on Racing HQ. Hope you got something out of it heading into the weekend. Tommy, I've been talking about the Hobartville and how I stuffed it up with Winx.
Yeah.
I reckon Pride of Dubai might end up there with you. But we'll wait and see.
Scratch from Saturday?
No, we'll just wait and see. Yeah, they might play catch-up.
Mm.
Might play catch up.
You know more than me, Andrew.
No, we'll wait and see. By the way, there'll be plenty of news on my Twitter page right through the day. I've got a lot of stuff in my book here that I haven't aired. So if you're on Twitter, check it out through the day, and we'll update as well on Joe Marrera.